Proverbs 16 tells us all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Hi, I'm Rob West. That passage describes God's view of success, and it's quite different from the world's view. I'll talk about that first today. Then it's on to your calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, the world's view of success is pretty obvious. It's having enough money to do or buy the things you want, like a big house, a fancy car, or the latest clothing fashions. You have to wonder, then, why so many, quote, successful people are so miserable. The answer is quite simple. They've discovered that money and possessions can't buy happiness. It's often said we have a God-shaped hole in our souls. You can pour many things into that emptiness. A big screen TV, a new set of graphite golf clubs. Sometimes this is called retail therapy. But those are just temporary patches over the hole. In a very short time, you're looking for another patch. Until the day you realize that nothing on earth fits into that God-shaped hole. That's when the misery begins. What's really sad is that many Christians also fall into this trap of success by the world's standards. They've bought into the lies that money and material things bring happiness. Advertising tells us this every day. Sometimes it can be a spiritual decision to just turn off the TV. In Matthew 6, Jesus warns us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, that doesn't mean that Christians should stay poor and lowly to be successful in God's eyes. Here, attitude counts far more than action. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." You see, God often provides an extra measure of resources beyond our needs, in the form of money or other assets, so that we can be generous toward His kingdom. But He wants us to do that with the right attitude, out of love for Him and others less fortunate. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that what you do for the least of these, you do for me. He goes on to say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." It's important to understand that God often blesses us in ways that have nothing to do with material things. Loving relationships with family and friends, a strong, nurturing church, and most of all, a deeper relationship with Him. That's the true blessing and true success. So, how do we obtain the good things God promises? Well, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, it's also important to note that we can never do things perfectly, because no one's been perfect since the fall. But again, attitude is more important than results. God simply wants us to diligently seek Him and His righteousness. That means we fully trust in God and we're willing to make things right when we fail. We're quick to humble ourselves continually before the throne of God. Psalm 84 also says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in you." God has special plans for each of us that we can't fulfill without fully trusting in Him. He promises not to withhold any good thing from us when we trust Him fully and seek His will for our lives. And we must always acknowledge that any success we achieve comes from God. To help us be a success in God's eyes, we must remember three key words: surrender, obedience, and persistence. Surrender means accepting that God owns it all. We're only temporary managers or stewards of what He gives us. Obedience means being willing to use God's resources as He directs. And persistence means sticking with the first two items no matter what worldly stresses or pressure we encounter. Nehemiah 6 asks, "Should someone in my position run from danger?" Finally, in Acts 21, we see Paul responding to disciples who wanted him to stay away from Jerusalem for his safety. He says, "Why all this weeping? I am ready to be jailed, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus." Now, that's surrender, obedience, and persistence put into action. And when we're successful in God's eyes, we'll know true peace and contentment, and that's something worth striving for every day. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. The teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes searched high and low for life's meaning and purpose, but to no avail. Nothing brought lasting satisfaction. Follow along as we retrace his steps of futility and then discover how God gives hope, meaning, and a proper perspective to life. This week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg. Weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net. Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Let's head right to the questions and welcome Gail in Kansas. Gail, go right ahead.
Hello there. My husband and I purchased long-term care insurance in 2011. We thought it was the right thing to do to help protect our assets, which we wanted to use for some charitable giving and still leave something for our two kids.
Yeah.
And also, there's also the concern that if we left it in investments in the market, they can lose value, which we have seen over the decades. The premiums have remained constant so far for 10 years, but we've received notice that the premiums are going to more than double in the next 3 years, with substantial increases in each of those 3 years. So while we hate to throw away the premiums we've already paid in, we wonder if we should set aside cash and save it to self-insure if the need arises. We could shop for long-term coverage from another company, but our ages are 73 and 75, and we'll probably have to go through underwriting, or we could try adjusting our benefits. But our question is, how can we analyze our investments and assets at this point in time against the cost of insurance or the estimated cost of professional care if one of us or both of us would need it?
Yeah, well, that's very well said, Gail. And your question represents the question that's on a lot of folks' mind, which is, do we need long-term care insurance? How do we cover the cost of long-term care if we need it? Which the Department of Health and Human Services estimates that 7 out of 10 Americans will require some type of long-term care, and it's costly. And if something's going to erode your assets in that season of life, it will likely be long-term care. And yet the long-term care insurance options are not foolproof in the sense that even if you buy them early, and I would recommend between ages 50 and 65, you have to face the potential of these large increases. And a lot of folks, especially those that bought policies, you know, 20 or so years ago, are seeing huge premium increases. Yours is obviously not that old. And yet, as you said, you're going to experience, even though you've had 10 years of no increases, now a massive increase. And this is often due to the assumptions that were in place when you bought it, and due to increased lifespans, lower lapse rates, higher costs of care, low interest rates that we've had for a long, long time, the insurance companies are just having to make adjustments for the possibility of paying out more than projected in the past. They have to do it across the board. They can't do it for a single policy. So this represents one of the big challenges for folks that have these policies or are considering them, because these massive increases could price it out of their budget, and then they're having to drop them, and obviously all is lost at that point. So you've got a couple of options. In terms of who needs long-term care insurance, you know, the general rule of thumb, which sounds like a pretty big group of folks, is if you have assets, net worth between $200,000 and $2 million. Well, that's a lot of folks out there, because a lot of people fall into that category. That's not income, that's assets. And the idea is if you have less than $200,000 in assets, you know, the premiums will be too steep, and there's, you know, not enough there to warrant the cost of it. If you have more than $2 million in assets, you could self-insure. But in that kind of middle ground, which again is represents a lot of folks, there's reason to at least consider it. Now, one way to mitigate the cost, the increased cost, if you have a premium increase like you're facing, is to contact the company and see about reducing the benefit period. If, in fact, you have a longer benefit period, longer than the 2 to 3 year time span most people need this type of care, that would be one way, by reducing benefits, to keep it at or near your current premium level. What we find is that women tend to need care longer. The average is 3.7 years. Men is around 2.2 years. So the combined average is about 3 years. So that would be one thing to consider. Have you looked at that option? And do you believe you could cut your benefits from where they are now?
To be honest, we bought the policy and it's in the notebook, and I haven't really reviewed it.
Yeah, that might be one way, because the idea here is that even if it doesn't offset the full cost of care, at least it could offset something. You know, the average, you know, female woman that needs, you know, 3.7 years of care, that cost is going to range somewhere between $200,000 and $400,000 for men, because the average is just over 2 years. It's going to be somewhere between $120,000 and $230,000. And that's for, you know, nursing home care. Obviously, home health aid would be a lot less expensive, or assisted living. So it's going to vary in terms of what's needed. I think the idea here is if you all could keep some benefit, even if it doesn't cover all of it, at least it would help to cut the cost so that you all aren't bearing the full weight of that in terms of what it would do to your assets. So I would probably start there. You've got a good policy. Hopefully this is, you know, a couple of increases that are going to come here, and, you know, that might be the end of it as they reset this around the latest data. And if you could go another decade, you know, before you had more increases, obviously this would be a good thing, because it's going to help protect your assets and give you at least a jump start toward these costs if you have to incur them. Gail, thank you for your call. Craig in Ohio, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I went and bought a official check from the bank for $10,000 to invest into I-bonds. I made it out to Treasury Direct, but I don't know where to send it or how to go about it. Then I was told that I should go through Fidelity in order to do this.
Yeah. Sure. Well, so the I-bonds can be bought electronically through treasurydirect.gov. That would be the place to do it. You can't get them at the bank. They don't do the paper bonds anymore. And so if you have that money in your checking account or in an account that you can use to make an electronic transfer, Craig, you would just head to the government's website, the Treasury's website, specifically for this purpose, treasurydirect.gov. You would create an account. And once you do, you can set it up to transfer the funds directly in and purchase the I-bonds, which would be held in your account as electronic bonds, and then the interest would be credited to it. And if at any point you want to liquidate those bonds that you have to hold for at least a year, but if you want to liquidate them after that point, you could redeem them, and then you could transfer the money back out to your checking account. So that would be the way to do it, to head to treasurydirect.gov, create an account, and then fund it for the purchase of the bonds electronically. We appreciate your call, Craig. If you have other questions, don't hesitate to give us a call back. Quickly to Naples. Donna, we've got just about a minute and a half left. How can I help you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy that I'm speaking with you. I'll get right to the point.
Sure.
I have got about $44,000 in savings. Me and my husband, Chris Love, were blessed with a little bit of money, and we have been doing well with that money. We've been giving back, of course, to the Lord, because that comes first, and of course, taking care of our family. I work full time as a manager at a restaurant, so I do have income probably ranging about maybe $500 to $700 a week. My husband is currently not working right now, but I just basically I need to know what I should do with this $44,000. You've spoken about I-bonds. I've heard you. Me and my husband always listen to you and your radio station. And I want to be able to do this with this money in the bank.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, that's helpful background. I think I've got all that down, and I think you articulated it very well. So, Donna, I'm going to ask, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll get right back with you, and we'll see if we can give you some help on where you go from here. So stay right there, and we'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Coming up later in the broadcast, what do you do if your business is struggling? Should you tap into home equity to save the business? Well, that was a question that came in our community forum. I'll give you my thoughts on that a little later in the program. Just before the break, we were talking to Donna in beautiful Naples, Florida. Donna was sharing that she's working as a manager at a restaurant, making about $500 to $700 a week. Her husband is currently not working, and they built up some savings in the amount of $44,000, and she's wondering what to do with it at this time. And Donna, you know, the thing that gives me pause is the fact that you said your husband wasn't working. Do you believe that's temporary, and how has that affected your ability to cover your monthly expenses as a family?
Well, that's definitely temporary. He had had a shoulder injury, and it's taking just about 1 to 2 months to recuperate. He's in the boating industry, and he's very successful at that, but he just needed to take a break. Okay. As for me and my family and my finances, I also clean houses on the side. So yeah. I've been kind of holding up the ship a little bit for the past few months, but God has been really good, and God has blessed us. So in return, we bless others, and we give back to radio stations such as yourself. Like I said, that's we're monthly donors, and that's just try and help people, even if we have to sacrifice ourselves.
Yeah.
But I need to make sure that I'm doing the right thing with this money that I have in the account, because it's so easy to use a debit card. Everything adds up. Yeah. And I've got two grandchildren. Thank God they're good. And I just want to do the right thing. So God is happy with me.
Well, you were created in his image, and you're his child. He loves you regardless of what you do. And yet we all want to be faithful stewards, right? And so one way we can do that is to be wise and mindful of his principles as we manage his resources. Donna, what would you say are the total of your monthly expenses? Do you have a good sense of what it costs for you all to conduct your household over a 30-day period?
Yes, I do. I do. My basic household expenses, including our rent, is probably about $2,000, and that does include rent and, you know, phone bills and minor bills and stuff like that. I would say about $2,000.
Okay, and does that include your discretionary spending if you all were to go out to eat, the giving that you're doing, if you were to, you know, go see a movie? I mean, something that you don't get a bill for?
I would probably add probably about another maybe $300 to $400 onto that, but we try and save and don't really go out, but I get what you're saying. So we'll tack on about another $300 to $400 onto that.
Okay. And then, the $44,000 that represents all of your savings, right? That's not in addition to that emergency fund that I talk about all the time, correct?
Yes, sir. That does include everything, including the emergency fund that you speak about. Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So I'd like to start by saying, let's make sure we earmark at least $15,000 of that and keep it liquid so that you've got it in the event of an emergency. You know, given your husband's situation, if you think that may last a little longer than you think, maybe we bump that up a little bit. But I think at a minimum, $15,000. Then the next question would be, are you all currently putting anything toward retirement? Do you, if he's self-employed, or if you are, do you have a SEP IRA? Do you have traditional IRAs? Tell me about that.
I actually do not. And I regret that, because I've had the opportunity to do that through my company that I work for. We've got a 401k that they offer, but I've just never contributed. But so the answer to your question is no. That 44,000 is it.
Okay, great. So, you know, I would be looking to get that into a tax-deferred environment as quick as you can. And given that he's out of work right now, what it may require is if you were to start that 401k right away and you were to start taking and putting in maybe 10% of your salary and hopefully they match a little bit of it, maybe 3% to get you up to 13 or even 5% to 15. And if that were to put take too much out of what you need, especially while you're covering all the bills, with him out of work, then perhaps we pull some out of that $44,000 to make up what's going in to the retirement account. And what that would do is essentially offset the $44,000 month by month with the amount that's now going into the 401k. But the benefit is instead of just investing it in a taxable account where as it grows and as the investments perform, whether that's stocks and bonds or an I-bond that you mentioned, now it's not taxable any longer. It's in that tax-deferred environment. And then once he gets back into work and you all have a little bit more, you continue that. And the idea is hopefully you don't have to pull anything out of the $44,000 to offset that. Is he self-employed?
He is self-employed. He is a handyman in Naples, Florida here.
Yeah.
But he also has a job with a boating company as well. Like I said, he's just out of work for a little bit.
Yeah.
But basically,
so
he is self-employed. Yeah.
Does he have the ability to contribute to a retirement plan with the boating company or no?
No, he does not.
Okay. All right. So I'd love for you guys to have, you know, somewhere around 10% of your total pay going into retirement plans. So for him, if he's self-employed, he could open a SEP IRA, that's S-E-P. And with a SEP IRA, you know, you can put in up to 25% of your compensation up to $61,000 this year. So that would give him the ability to put away a good bit. You could start participating in that 401k. And again, let's try to systematically move a portion of this $44,000 in, or if you don't need to because he's back to work and you've got a little bit of margin, let's at least get that going into a long-term account. Then once it gets into the SEP or it gets into the 401k, let's get that invested, but it's going to grow tax deferred and it's long-term money that you guys won't touch until you get to that point. I think that's probably the next step for you to think about. Do you have any debt to speak of?
I do not, thank God.
Okay.
We do not have any debt. The debt that we've had, we have paid off with the money that we have been blessed with. But I do have a question for you. Am I able to take some of my money out of the savings account and put into the 401k plan that my company offers, or is that directly taking out of a paycheck?
Yeah, it's got to be through salary deferral, and that's why I was saying that if you start that salary deferral and that cuts too much out of your check, you could pull out of the $44,000 to offset that and use that for your monthly spending. So you just move it from one pocket to the other, if you will. I've got to hit a break, but we appreciate your call today, Donna. God bless you. Hold on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission
to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. All right, we've got some great questions stacked up here today, so let's make our way through next to Dixon, Tennessee. Hey, Sandra, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
We recently admitted my husband to a nursing home facility. I don't know that he's going to have to stay there, but it could be possible. And I was just wondering, what's the best financial way to fund it?
Yeah, Sandra, I'm so sorry to hear that. We'll certainly pray that he comes out of there quickly. Sandra, in my notes here, my producer has indicated that he's a veteran. Have you contacted the VA about the assistance that they can offer here?
He's not eligible for a nursing home.
He's not?
No.
Okay. All right. Because often, even those who are not, in a nursing home as related to service connected disability, there is often assistance that can be available, whether it's a community living center or contract nursing home, state's veterans homes. But it sounds like you've exhausted that. Do you feel like there's more that you need to look into there, or are you pretty confident there's nothing available?
I'm pretty confident there's nothing available. I talked to someone from the VA, and she said he could get like 30 days from them.
Okay.
When he was first admitted.
Yeah. Okay. So then at that point, he should be eligible for Medicaid, and that would be the next route I would go. Have you looked into that?
Yes, that's what they're actually encouraging us to do. Yeah. But I was a little leery of that because I've heard stories that they take everything you've got and leave you with $2,000.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think the key is, that assistance is available, and obviously there are asset limits there, but I would call just to learn more about that and find out what assistance is available, because that really could provide some much-needed financial assistance for you to be able to get the care that he needs. They will require a spend down of your assets to $2,000, so that, of course, is real, and I can understand that. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that he gets the care he needs. And so it would begin with your assets, where you would fund that out of pocket. But then, once that spend down has occurred, Medicaid would be the next step. So I think you need to do your homework here. We'll certainly pray that he comes out quickly. But I think that is something you need to look at, just so you understand how you could take advantage of that moving forward to continue to provide him the assistance assistance he needs, and do that to maximize the assets that you have, and then get the assistance when you no longer have the ability to do so. So, Sandra, keep us posted on this. All the best to you, and I wish I had better news for you. God bless you. To Holland, Michigan, Stephanie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, we save $400 every week for our mortgage payments, and our mortgage payment is $1,200. So we've been paying that every 3 weeks. Does it make sense to do every 3 weeks for $1,200, or do 4 weeks at $1,600?
So you're saving $400 a week, and I think the key is that you need to make sure you get a payment in, by the time that it's due for each cycle. And then you want to make sure that whatever you're sending over and above that is being applied directly to principal. Are you making those payments electronically?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think, I wouldn't spread it out over 6 weeks, because you may end up missing the end of a cycle, and you certainly wouldn't want to be, counted as late or get any kind of penalties of any kind. So I think the key is, you probably want to, go ahead and send that once a month, corresponding with the due date. But I love the fact that you guys would send a little bit extra over and above that regularly scheduled payment, because even, one extra payment a year can make a significant difference in the number of years that you're paying on a 30-year mortgage. And it sounds like with what you guys are doing, you should be able to do a good bit more than that even. So I think the key is continue on your monthly rhythm if that's working for you, but make sure you get at least one payment in per cycle so you don't incur any extra charges. Does that make sense?
Correction. It's we make a payment every 3 weeks of $1,200, or make a $1,600 payment every 4 weeks.
Oh, every 4 weeks. Okay. I don't think it, I don't think it really matters. I'd probably do the full payment, the $1,600, over the 4 week period. Just because that's going to allow you to get that, that one payment in a month, which for record keeping purposes is going to make a lot more sense. So I would keep saving like you are every week, and then get that one payment in per month of $1,600.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Thank you for calling, Stephanie. God bless you. Let's head next to Florida. Allison, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, I really enjoy your program. My question is, I first wanted to know exactly how the YEP IRA works. And my second question was, right now I do have a 403B IRA, and I'm wondering within the way the economy is going, if it's a wise idea to put it into my current pension, which allows a certain amount each year.
Okay. All right. Very good. Two parts to that. So what is a SEP IRA? Well, a SEP IRA stands for a Simplified Employee Pension. It's essentially acts as a traditional IRA for self-employed people and small business owners. So if you don't have access to a company-sponsored plan at work, then this is the way you can get more money going toward retirement than you would be able to do through a traditional IRA. Because you've got the limits of either $6,000 or $7,000 in a traditional or Roth IRA, and most folks want to be able to put away more than that. And if you don't have access to the 401k or the 403b, then the SEP IRA is the way to go. Simply because the contribution limits are much higher. So for this year, you can put in the lesser of either 25% of your compensation or $61,000 in 2022 this year. So it gives you a high contribution limit. They're easy to set up. It basically is just like a traditional or a Roth IRA. You can get a tax deduction on them. You don't have to commit to contributing every year, so you can do it like you want to, at the end of the year or monthly, whatever makes sense. And then you basically have unlimited options in terms of what you want to invest in at that point. In terms of the second part of your question, are you talking about the Florida retirement system? Yeah. So I think the pension component can make a lot of sense if you want the kind of guaranteed returns. What I would do is perhaps visit with an advisor who can compare those two options for you. I prefer the investment option. As long as you've got time on your side, Allison, I like having more, you know, access to the investments that can perform at a higher level over time. So if you have at least 10 years, I'd probably stay with the investment portion. If you want to make a change, though, the FRS does allow you to make a one-time change to the pension plan if that would give you more peace of mind. I think at the end of the day, it's something you just need to think through. But if time's on your side, I like the investment option. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
We're grateful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. In just a few minutes, we'll head back to the phones to take our final calls for the program today. But first, a quick reference to our MoneyWise community. That's right. In our app and on our website at moneywise.org, we have the MoneyWise community where people are posting questions all the time, every day. And you, the MoneyWise community, are responding to those questions, sharing ideas. Our MoneyWise coaches are in and out of there. It's so much fun to see just God's people interacting around the issues and decisions they're trying to make every day and folks helping them on their journey. So if you haven't checked out the MoneyWise community in the MoneyWise app or moneywise.org, check it out today. Just click the community button. Once you create a free account, you can post away. Well, this one came in to our MoneyWise community on using home equity to save a business. And I thought, I would comment on it. Obviously, small businesses everywhere are struggling in the current economic climate. But the question is the equity in your home a good source of quick cash when times are tough? Here's the story that was posted. Sherry's husband is self-employed in the trucking industry. A few years ago, they sold one of their trucks and used the profit to make a down payment on a home. Now they're in a cash flow crunch because of fuel costs, supply chain issues, and the length of time it's taking clients to pay them. The business still owes a lot of money on the equipment, and Sherry says even if they sold it all, they wouldn't break even. She wanted to know if now was a good time to use the equity in their home to keep the business going. And my short answer, Sherry, to the question is no. I wouldn't use your home as collateral to cover business debt. You'd really put yourself at risk of losing your business and your home if you can't make the payments, and that's just not worth the price of admission. Of course, dealing with struggling businesses are never easy, Sherry. So let me just get that out there and say, I know this is tough. And if you're in that position, let me just give you a few things to consider for both Sherry and anyone else in this spot. Perhaps the most important, there's a relational aspect to the issue. If you're married, you and your spouse need to be in complete agreement about how to proceed with your struggling business. In any case, it is critical to pray together about this before you do anything. Then you can look at the economic conditions. Of course, right now, the economy is slowing. Fuel prices are rising, so you know that slow payments from your customers will only get slower. So this is not going to give you a quick fix. Things might get worse. In fact, they're likely to before they get better. Consider the long-term future of your business. What are your goals there? Ask yourself, and this is a hard question to ask, but it's important. Is it time to call it quits before you get yourself deeper into debt? Seek wise advice from a financial planner. Talk to other business owners who have been there, especially if they're in your industry. So again, using your personal home equity in this situation is going to put your family's future in jeopardy. Another thing to consider, Sherry and others, is that when discussing the future of your small business, you've got to ask yourself, are my emotions attached to this? It can be difficult emotionally and psychologically for entrepreneurs to give up a business, and that's why it's important to get outside objective counsel. And then finally, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach us through this financial challenge? And just trust Him to lead you through this. But Sherry, thank you for sharing your question. If you'd like to weigh in with some helpful advice to Sherry, you can head to the community section in the MoneyWise app and post your comments under her question. We'd love for you, again, to share your questions and thoughts on anything in the MoneyWise community. Just click the community button and you'll find it at moneywise.org. All right, back to the phones we go. Lori is in Illinois. Lori, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. I'm just wondering, what kind of investment can I do at this point without the fear of losing my money? Because I only have around like $50,000, which I saved, and basically that's all I have. And I have a Roth IRA. It's only $1,500 that I have placed in it. It's over 3 years since I have that. But somehow I am very fearful of investing my money. I don't know how to do that, and I just rather just let it sit in the bank. But I don't know. Can you give me any advice?
Yeah, the challenge, Lori, and I totally appreciate where you're coming from, is, you know, we want to be good stewards. We want to put our money to work. We realize that the impact of inflation is that we're losing purchasing power, so that money sitting in the bank earning nothing is actually declining in value as the cost of goods and services rise. At the same time, I can understand if you're concerned, fearful about investing and losing your hard-earned savings, you know, we don't want you to lose sleep at night either. And that's why I think when we think about investing, yes, there's the risk of loss. Anytime we're investing, we have the risk of loss, but we do it in a prudent and a disciplined fashion. And if we have the right long time horizon and we're properly diversified and we pick the right types of investments that are appropriate for our age, then we don't look at the performance of the market in a month or 6 months or a year. We look longer term. And at 53 years old, you know, you're going to have decades that you know, down the road that you need this money. I mean, it could be more than, I would expect it to be more than 10 years before you stop working. And even then, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you're going to need this money to last, you know, 20, 30 years just based on current life expectancy. So if that's the case, then you've got time on your side and you can let it grow. And if it's down in a particular month or quarter or year, that's okay. But if that's going to be too emotionally taxing on you, then you might need to stay on the sideline. But you just have to recognize just like there's risk in the market, there's risk in not being the market in the sense that you're losing the power of those purchasing dollars every day just because of the rise in inflation. So a couple of thoughts. One would be I would set aside at least 6 months worth of expenses as an emergency fund and not even consider investing that. Let's keep that in a liquid savings account. For the rest, you could look at opening or contributing to your Roth IRA, and this would be a great year to put in $7,000 because you're over age 50, and this is a great time to do it because stocks are down. And I'd probably do it using one of the robo-advisors like Betterment or Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where you're buying indexes. You're not buying individual stocks. It's very easy to do. It's low cost. You answer a few questions, and based on your age and the answers to those questions, they'll deploy a passive index-based investment strategy for you. Now, could it go down even more from here? Sure, and it could go down quite a bit more. But the idea is that we're looking out 10 years, 20 years, and in those time spans, the market always works through whatever challenges it has, at least historically speaking. One other option would be what I've talked about a lot lately, and that is the I bonds. These are inflation bonds backed by the U.S. government. So there's, I would say, no risk unless you think the U.S. government's going to go under. And you can put in up to $10,000. It's got to stay in for a year, but you'll get 9.6% at least through November, and it'll just down at that point, but probably not down a whole lot because I think inflation will still be elevated quite a bit. In order to put that $10,000 in, if you wanted to do that, you'd buy those electronic I-bonds at treasurydirect.gov. That's the government's website for the Treasury where you can purchase inflation bonds. That would be one option to consider. So you think about that, pray about that, Lori, and if you have other questions, give us a call back. To Illinois we go. Well, actually, we were in Illinois, so we'll stay there. Veronica, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I had a question about my father. I am his power of attorney, and I wanted to know what's the best way to protect his assets, if it would be a will or putting it in a trust.
Yeah, yeah. When the house is sold, your father would receive his half of the profit. When you say protection, what are you getting at there? Why would those funds need protection?
Just if something were to happen to him, God forbid, and he were to pass, he doesn't have a will or anything that says anything goes to us, his two daughters.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be essential. I mean, you certainly could do a trust, but it's not necessary. So a will would basically handle all of his assets and personal effects. So I would, with some expediency, go contact an estate planning attorney who could draw up a simple will for him. It'd be, a few hundred dollars, maybe 500 at the most. And as long as he has a valid will in force, that's going to handle all of his assets, including the proceeds of this home sale that, would be in the bank. Now, if you put it into an account after the sale that has a transfer on death attached to it where the named beneficiary, it would pass outside of a will to the beneficiaries, and it could be more than one as a part of that. But anything that doesn't have a named beneficiary, like a specific transfer on death account or something similar, then you would need to make sure he has a will to handle the distribution of his assets.
Okay. Okay, very
right.
Good.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Sure. Thank you for calling today. May God bless you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Corlin, I so apologize that we didn't get to your question, but perhaps you can give us a call back next time, and we'd love to have you on the program. Thank you for your patience today. Folks, as you think about applying God's wisdom to your financial life, I'd love for you to search the scriptures. There's 2,300 verses to deal with money and possessions. As we meditate on those, it'll renew our mind and give us the heart of God as we think about managing His money. Hey, by the way, MoneyWise on American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media are listener-supported. We can't do what we do without your generous support. You'd consider a gift. We'd greatly appreciate it. MoneyWise.org, just click the donate button. I want to say thanks to all the wonderful people who make this program possible, and thank you for being here as well. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.